Good morning, everyone. I want to say welcome to worship this morning. My name is Pastor Trey Witzel. I'm one of our associate pastors, and Scott and I were just laughing that Wendy's not here and Rockford's over in the modern worship space, and this might be the first and last time that Scott and I get to lead worship together. But it's a pleasure to be with all of you. Thank you to those who are joining us online. We're especially thankful that you are worshiping with us, and we would love to know who you are and who is worshiping with us. So please like, comment, share whatever feed you're worshiping on. You can go to mcfarlandumc.org, and you can share your prayer concerns, share what's going on in your life. We want to connect and be in ministry with you. I believe our ushers are passing out for us in-house in the sanctuary, passing out our friendship pads, our connection pads. We'd encourage you to sign in and pass those down. It's a great way for us to connect with you and for you to connect with who you are sharing a pew with today in worship. And if you're a first-time guest or a visitor with us today, we're especially glad that you are joining us for worship. And we have a little table in the back if you'd like to learn more about the church and receive a free gift from us today. We want to especially point you today as we continue our Encounters with God worship series that this Thursday, down here at the bottom of your bulletin says, Serve Day this Thursday. We'll have a group from the church going to the regional food bank to be serving in as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ together, that though we may not all be able to worship together on Sundays, that we can serve with and alongside one another during the week. We also want to say, if you haven't checked your mailbox lately, we have sent out a magnet to every person that's given us their address here at the church that has a special phone number on it. It has a pastoral care crisis number because we know that life doesn't just happen during business hours. Life doesn't just happen when the pastors are in the office. And so we wanted to give you all a special phone number that you can call 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And one of the pastors or our director of congregational care, Stephanie Miller, will answer. And so if you haven't received that magnet yet, maybe wait a day or two to give the post office time to get it to your house. And if not, we have extra magnets right here at church so that we can, no matter what's going on in your life, be together in prayer and fellowship. Once again, it's wonderful to be with all of you today in worship. And so let us rise as we sing hymn number 577, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Thank you. to be in worship together this morning. Will you please join with me in our responsive reading as printed on your bulletin? God comes to us in the presence of those we encounter day to day, in the hearts and the eyes of those we meet, and in the stories of faith we hear when we listen. God meets us as we love others as God loves them, sharing grace and mercy freely as we continue to become the people God created us to be. God is with us every moment of every day, everywhere and right here, in every way we can imagine. Look around and see the beauty of the presence of God. Let's join in a time of prayer together. Merciful, gracious, holy God, we are once again thankful to be in your presence this morning in this great space. Whether we worship together in this sanctuary or online, it is a joy to be together, and we know that we are bound together by the power of your Holy Spirit. This morning, O God, I ask that you will speak to us. Give us the opportunity to once again encounter you in new and in renewing ways. Fill us with the power of your Spirit, with the hopefulness that comes in our relationship with you. Pour upon your grace to each and every one of us, reminding us that we are beloved by you, cared for, created, constantly being molded and shaped into the people you desire us to be. Oh God, this morning we ask that you'll hear our prayers, the personal prayers that we share, those prayers that we are coming to you and asking for you to help us through a difficult time or a difficult situation, those prayers of thanksgiving where once again, maybe in the last few days we saw you coming through. And we ask, oh God, that as we encounter you, we will be motivated, encouraged, and given direction to continue to live the way that you desire each of us to live, to love the unlovable, to care about the marginalized, to sacrifice in the way that we live, in the way that we spend our resources so that people all around the world will not only have what they need, but will know that they love you deeply. It is good to be together. It is good to come and worship you. It is good for us to set aside all of the burdens that we carry so that we can focus on you. And we ask, O God, that in turn you will show up. Show up in our worship, show up in our lives, show up to encourage us and to give us direction. God, in the beauty of this moment, in the beauty of this day, in the beauty of the people who sit around us, in the beauty of your songs and in your worship and in your word, we ask, O God, that we can once again find what we need in you. We're thankful, O God. Thankful that you draw us together, that you look beyond our differences and look to us as one, as a whole, as a body of Christ. And may we see ourselves as that, as a part of the body of Christ. And may we do that this morning as we once again join together in the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, I'd like to introduce Austin LeVerifon, our Director of Student Ministries. We're sending out a mission team next Saturday. Austin's going to tell you a little bit about that. And if you're a part of that mission team heading out next Saturday, will you come down forward so we can recognize and commission you for your great work that you're about to do?
Thank you, Scott. So we are going to Knott County, Kentucky. How many of y'all have been to Knott County, Kentucky before? Probably not many. So we have a group of 27 people all going out to serve as the hands and feet of Christ this next coming week, Monday through Friday, on four different home projects out in the Appalachian Mountains. I have now learned that they pronounce it Appalachian out there and not Appalachian. I've been trying really hard to train myself so I don't say the wrong thing. It's like someone coming to Oklahoma and saying, what's this town called, Miami? No, it's Miami, right? So we're going to do Appalachian Service Project, which is an organization that's been working in the Appalachian area throughout Kentucky, the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, that's been there for over 50 years. So one of the things we really believe here at McFarland is that when we go and serve in short-term missions is that we want to see long-lasting impact. So we are always going to go and we're going to partner with people who are doing life-changing work wherever we go. So I am super excited for this team as they get ready to pack this week and to load up on buses and for us all to get really close and have an experience not only where we get to encounter God. I think this sermon series is so appropriate for us as we get ready to go, but for others to also be able to encounter God through us and through our works. So that God commissions us and you all will pray for us as we get ready to go and do.
I'd like to ask those of you going, if you will kneel here at the altar railing. And I am really excited that we are sending out a mission team. We know that with the pandemic, we've not been able to do that as much as we want to. And we're really excited that you all are going to serve. And not only are we going to be praying for your safety the entire time, we're going to send a part of us with you and pray that through the power of the Spirit, as you represent us and represent God and represent the work of Christ, that great things will happen and that lives will truly be changed. And congregation, I would ask you to make sure to hold these people in your prayer, especially Austin is the team leader of this. It's a tremendous responsibility to be charged with the care and making sure that everything goes well for this group. And so if you will, this week, say extra special prayers for Austin and the adults who go, that would be much appreciated. So let's bow in a moment of prayer for this team. Gracious God, we're so thankful that you are sending this group out into service. We pray, God, for not only travel mercies between here and there, but we ask, oh God, that you also will be the hands and feet that work directly through these people, that lives will be changed. We pray, oh God, that you will change their lives, that they will see the world in a new way, that they will come home with new perspectives about a corner of the world. But also, God, and maybe most importantly, that the people that they encounter, whether it's when they're traveling or when they're serving in home repair, that you will be working through them. And that when they leave, oh God, we pray that maybe they don't be remembered, but you who sent them is the one who was remembered. God, we're thankful for the commitment of each and every one of these who is going. We're thankful, oh God, for their families who are sending them and placing and entrusting them, not only in the care of this church, but also in your care. And God, ultimately what we pray is that lives are changed, that the world is a different place, that from the time that they leave to the time that they come home, something incredible happens and the world becomes a better place, a world more like you desire the world to be. We lift them up to you as they go for us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, everybody. And we're going to be praying for you as you leave next Saturday and for your work of service. And once again, thank you very much for doing this.
Church, let's stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn number 593. Join me in singing, Here I Am, Lord.
we enter into our time of offering, I want to thank you for being a sending congregation, a group of people that are always sending people to serve in various ways. We know we're sending a group to Kentucky next week. Each and every week, we send people across the alleyway to work on our food pantry to make sure that those folks in our community who maybe don't have enough to eat will have enough in their cupboards. During vacation Bible school, our children collected almost $1,500. We're going to send that to Heifer International, and they're going to buy some animals and get them into communities around the world. We are a sending congregation. And this morning, as you share your offering, you help us continue to do exactly what it is that God is calling us to do, to change lives, to change the world by sending. So thank you very much in advance. You may be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Hear now these words. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and of all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to thank Stephen for reaching out to me this week and asking about, you know, what hymns I wanted sung today for my sermon. And I thought of Here I Am, Lord, as kind of one of the hymns that have been a common thread throughout my life. And I just think it's one of the most creative structures of a hymn that we sing, where it talks about at the beginning, we're reading the words of the Lord, words that God has been saying to people for thousands of years that we hear in the prophets and in some of the early kings and in Jesus and future apostles and Christians, of Jesus or God making this declaratory statement of who God is and what is still to be done, and then ending, whom shall I send? And then our response of, here I am, Lord. That God is always looking to encounter us just as we are looking to encounter God. So let us pray. Gracious God, in some way we have all seen you, felt you, encountered you, experienced you. You've walked with us. You've talked with us. And so soften our hearts once more. Open our ears and our eyes that we might remember the ways in which you've been with us, see the ways in which you are with us, and believe in the ways in which we will continue to encounter you throughout our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the things that I love about this worship series is that it invites us to reflect on our past and on our memories, on the experiences that have shaped us, that maybe we didn't know in the meantime, but later upon reflection have said, we were encountering God in that moment. And as we begin to reflect and remember and ponder, one of the weird things about growing up and looking back on memories from our childhood is that though they may still be funny or cherished or even painful sometimes, upon reflection, these encounters and experiences that we have growing up each and every day, they begin to explain a little bit, for better or for worse, why we are who we are. Because there are moments, both big and small, that shape us into who we are, who we have become, and I believe that we encounter God in all of them. That in all of these seemingly ordinary moments of our lives become extraordinary when we reflect on how they have shaped us, on where we have encountered God throughout all of the moments of our lives. And so I hope during this series, when you hear the preachers for each week reflect on where they've encountered God, that you might say, oh yeah, I've encountered God similarly. For me, all of these encounters encouraged me to become a pastor. I, at a young age, as a freshman in high school, at the age of 15, began telling people that I was going to be a United Methodist pastor. And while choosing and sticking to the career choice that early on has been helpful, knowing this for over half my life, that I would be a pastor, it's led me to where I am. Just parents, there's also wisdom and letting kids change their minds, that who they want to be as 15-year-olds may not and probably should not be who they are as they get older. Because one of the downsides that I've found in reflecting on my call from 15 years ago, 16, now that hurts a little bit, But upon reflecting on 16 years ago and answering my call is that I've had plenty of moments to doubt. I've had a lot of times in my life where I have questioned my encounters with God. I've wondered, was that real? Did that mean what I thought it meant? Maybe throughout your lives, you've probably had similar questions about and doubts about God. God, was that really you? Are you really leading me? Here I am. I think, where are you sending me? Why am I getting this degree? Am I really cut out for this line of work? What if I'm making a mistake or I'm flat out wrong? One of the first times, and there's been many, that I was unsure about my own call was as a senior in high school at church camp. The preacher for that camp that week had kind of given his own personal testimony about his encounter with God. And this preacher, his encounter was one of those big ones, one of those burning bush kind of moments. It was also one of those rock bottom encounters where your only option is to look up and see God. Because of some of the choices he made and some of the chaotic circumstances surrounding him. But he found God. He encountered God, experienced the life-transforming grace of Jesus Christ, and boom, his life was turned around. Now, part of me thinks back and wonders, you know, did he simplify his story? Did he maybe exaggerate? Not that pastors ever exaggerate in sermons, but did he maybe exaggerate a little bit to get the point across or simplify it for junior high and senior high to understand his message? And maybe he talked about how it wasn't just one encounter, but many encounters over a life, and that he still needs to encounter God as he grows in his faith. But regardless, as a child taking all this in, I remember walking out of the tabernacle thinking, that's not my story. I've never had a big encounter with God. I've never been at rock bottom for God to take over and transform my life. I've never had any of those encounters. And for whatever reason, I left that worship thinking that I, because I hadn't had those encounters, was disqualified from being a pastor. That my encounters with God were not good enough. That's quite an existential crisis for a senior in high school to be having. I'd been going around telling people for now 4 years that I was going to be a United Methodist pastor. And I was about to go and study religion at our state United Methodist University. Did I need to change majors? Change schools? What would my friends and family think? What would the church think of me? What would God think of me? And so I was walking back from worship that night, and I was walking with a pastor. There was a pastor next to me that I knew and looked up to, and I kind of just emotionally word vomited all over him. And I just said all of these things in the short walk to our cabin, and it was Pastor Reverend Doyle Sharp. He's a pastor at Marlowe United Methodist Church today. And I ended it by saying, Doyle, I can't be a pastor because that isn't my story. It's not my encounter. I can't be a pastor because I just grew up in the church. That's a lame testimony. No one wants to hear a sermon about that. And I remember Doyle looked at me. He looked down at me. He's a very tall man. And he said, Trey, one day on July 17th, 2022, you're going to be preaching a sermon right about this at McFarland Memorial, and you'll preach about this moment. It's not what he said, but what he did say had a profound encounter on my understanding of me and God's relationship. He said, Trey, that's your story. Your story, your encounter with God is that God's always been in your life. You've been raised by parents who loved you and brought you to church, and this is what we want for everyone. And so your life sermon is to make sure that others can have the experience and encounter that you had. Friends, we don't have to be at rock bottom to encounter God in our lives. God doesn't sit back and wait for moments of crisis or rescue for us to have spiritual encounters. It's just that so often that's the only time that we look for God. Too often we turn to Him in those break glass in case of emergency moments, and I hope that through this series, by remembering and looking at your life, that you see how you have chosen to encounter God in the ordinary moments of life, so that you know that God isn't sitting behind glass in some box over in the corner for when you need Him, but that God is always with you and that we always need Him. And so starting this series, you may have thought or be thinking still, God encounters. I've never had a burning bush moment like Moses. An angel's never visited me like Mary. I've never wrestled with God like Jacob. And I want you to know that that's okay. While I've now certainly had my own large and significant encounters with God in my life, most of my encounters with God have been like Peter describes in our scripture reading for today. Peter uses two metaphors in what we read earlier today about our relationship with God, that to be a chosen people, we've got to choose to encounter God in our daily lives and make God the foundation of our very existence. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter is him telling us how Christians are to hope and to be holy, how we are to live our lives, but he knows that it's not enough to just tell us what we are to do, but Peter is deeply invested in who we are becoming. And so Peter starts in his second chapter by saying, "Hey church, you're a bunch of babies. In fact, you're really just a bunch of newborn infants." And while I'm certain that may have offended some of the people reading this message who didn't love that, what I think Peter is trying to say to us is that y'all and us and we have a long way to go in growing up and becoming who God is raising us to be. Peter's saying none of us are a finished product, that we all got to continue longing for God, choosing God, seeking God out so that we can grow into our salvation, so that we can grow into wholeness and life and flourishing. And so Peter may have been quoting Psalm 34:8 that says that in our baptisms we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, reminding us that faith is not a one-and-done encounter. But on the contrary, like the newborn infant yearns for their mother's milk multiple times a day, we must too yearn to be connected to God each and every day, knowing that if we don't, we'll fall back into our old habits. The early church believed in this so much that they, in fact, started incorporating milk and honey into the baptisms of new believers, reminding them that they have smelled that God is good. And we need that for us today. January 2020, I was down at Canyon Camp, but this time I was preaching. I was one of the preachers for a young adult retreat. There was about 40 to 50 kind of college-ish age young adults, because it's kind of a nebulous group, and we had about 40 or 50 down with us for a little kind of post-Christmas, pre-spring semester rest and rejuvenation time, and the theme for that retreat was thin spaces, borrowing from the Celtic Christian tradition that there is only a thin space between us and God, that God is always so near and dear to us, even if we don't know it. Then one of the ways in which camp and these retreats kind of help facilitate encountering that thin space and encountering God in our lives is by just, quite honestly, having really bad cell service and Wi-Fi strength. Because we got to go, and as these screens of our phones have grown bigger, so have their ability to distract us and to take us out of those ordinary moments where we might encounter God if we just looked a little closer. And so we all go down there, and we delete social media off our phone, we don't check the news, and we're able to tune back into God. And so it was during one of the free time moments of that retreat, and I was playing card games with some of our students. It was a card game called Exploding Kittens. Has anyone played Exploding Kittens here? We have some people raised. Okay, so some of you are aware of the hilariousness of playing a game called Exploding Kittens. And we were having the best time when two of our college students came up to us just absolutely wide-eyed. And they looked at me. I was sitting down on the couch, and they said, "Trey, have you heard?" And I said, "Heard what?" They had gone up to the top of the canyon to get cell phone service, to check in on some things, and I just remember asking, what's going on? And now, having the hindsight, this was January of 2020, before we even knew COVID was a thing. We now know with hindsight that what they're about to tell me didn't happen, wasn't really true. They had just read something on the news and it had freaked them out. But in the moment, it was truly scary for them and for all of us once we heard at the retreat. I asked them, I said, "What's going on? I haven't been on my phone." And they say, "Trey, the United Methodist Church just crumbled and we're at war with Iran." And I remember sitting there, not knowing what to do, not knowing what was going on in the world around them, but knowing that I don't control what's going on in the Middle East or at the church wider. And so I'm sitting there playing Exploding Kittens with two very obviously distraught college students, and I know nothing about what's going on. I have no control over the situation. So I look at them, and in all the pastoral care I could muster in the moment, I say, "Why don't we explode some kittens together?" They don't teach that kind of pastoral care at seminary anymore. But I knew that freaking out would do nothing. I knew that being detached from the offerings of being able to encounter God was still possible. But that so often we get so caught up in what's going on in the world, we forget that often we can't always control it. We can't always control what happens, but we can control how we respond. We know that the world is going to happen whether or not we are worshiping here. But we believe that when we worship, when we come to our small groups, when we serve as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, we know that though the world may happen, we are different and we can respond and we can handle things differently when we encounter God and know that God is with us. So here we are, 2.5 years later. The church hasn't crumbled. We aren't at war in the Middle East. And those two college students are now engaged in active ministry in the church. Sure, things aren't perfect. I still get anxious. I still get caught up at night, like the song "Here I Am, Lord" says. But that is where we so often hear God, where it then becomes our decision whether or not we are going to choose to encounter God or not. That's not always a choice that we make. Whether it's due to being busy or overwhelmed or tired or beat down or drained, even sometimes encountering God can feel too emotionally or spiritually or physically impossible to choose to encounter God, which is why it's so important that we remember that in each and every day, in the ordinary and mundane, God is encountering you. That encountering God doesn't have to be a burning bush or a visit from angelic hosts. Encountering God is simply building our lives with the living stone that is Jesus Christ. And that we return to that foundation, we live on that foundation, we seek out that spiritual milk, knowing that we have encountered that God was good and that God is still good today. So my prayer for all of us is that the world outside is going to keep spinning. It's going to keep happening. What's going to happen is going to happen. The only thing we can so often control is how we'll greet it. And will we greet it with God by our side, or will we try and go at it alone? Would you please pray with me? Gracious God, you say that you walk with us, that you talk with us, and yet so often we don't see you. We don't hear you. We expect that it has to be a burning bush, a great sign, a splitting open of the heavens. And yet, it's in the love of a friend, the singing of a bird, a song that comes on that we just needed in that moment. There are so many ways in which we encounter you. If we just soften our hearts, open our ears, look a little longer. And so let us carry deep within us the ways in which you've shown up before, knowing that you'll do it again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, join me in singing hymn number 529. Let's stand as we sing How Firm a Foundation.
As you walk out this building, God walks with you. May you see him, may you feel him, may you encounter him each and every day of your life. May you go in peace. Amen.